right, welcome to another episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. And today on the show, it's a live episode from Maya Cinemas here in Las Vegas. We are talking about Drive Away Dolls, the new film from Ethan Coen of the Coen Brothers. Joining me for this one, we've got Shahab Zargari, Lizette Hunter, and Faith Nault. We had a great, fun time over there at Maya Cinemas. These live shows are so much fun to do. Mixes things up from our usual episodes, and we get into a lot of great puzzle pieces along the way. Before we get to the conversation, I do want to remind you, as always, to make sure you are subscribed to Piecing It Together wherever it is that you listen to podcasts. You can also follow us on social media at Piecing Pod. And don't forget to join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about here on the show. We got a lot more live shows and a lot more podcasts planned, so make sure you are following and in the group and all that stuff, so that way you can connect with us and find out what we got going on. But with that said, let's get into this conversation about Drive Away Dolls. All right, everybody, we are going to start our show here. We're going to talk about this movie that we just watched. This would be a really fun one to get into. I'm David Rosen, the host of Piecing It Together podcast. What we do is we take a look at a new movie through the lens of what other movies might have inspired it. And that's what I'm going to do with my great lineup of guests here. So I'm going to introduce them first before we start getting into the movie. Right here, we've got Lizette Hunter, a filmmaker. She's been on the podcast before. Lizette, introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Lizette Hunter. I'm an actress and filmmaker. And I'm a mama, too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Just to the side there, we got Shahab Zargari, also been on the show before, a filmmaker, works over at UNLV, all kinds of stuff. Yeah. Introduce yourself.
Thanks for having me. Shahab Zargari, a local filmmaker. It's really a pleasure. I love how you structure your podcast, and so it's always a pleasure to come back. Also a father of two.
Yeah.
There we go. All right. On the end there, first time on the show, but very happy to have her here, Faith Nault. Faith, introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Faith Nault. I'm also a local filmmaker. I've written, directed, and produced my own shorts and worked on other people's student shorts. And this is my first time. I'm very excited.
Right on. So, this movie, Drive Away Dolls, this should be insane to get into, I think. It was not exactly what I expected, but also is, I think, a lot of fun. But I always like to kick these things off. For anybody who is here who hasn't listened to Piecing It Together before, I like to just jump right in, throw a puzzle piece right out there into the crowd, and just get this thing rolling. And we call puzzle pieces these movies that we think might have inspired the movie we are talking about. And we are going to start off because it is a movie by Ethan Coen of the Coen Brothers, this being Ethan Coen and his wife, in this case, Trisha Cook. They wrote and directed this together. But this is clearly back in the wacky side of the Coen Brothers territory. So we're just going to like jump in with some Coen Brothers, with The Big Lebowski, with Fargo, with Burn After Reading. I think we could just take the Raising Arizona, just take the wackier side of the Coen Brothers. And it kind of answers the question of like, what is Ethan like without Joel? And that's kind of what we got here. Apparently it's just complete wackiness and zaniness. So let's like talk a little bit of Coen Brothers before we get to other puzzle pieces. We'll start, Lizette, are you a fan of other Coen Brothers films?
Oh my gosh, I love the Coen Brothers.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan. I mean, No Country for Old Men is one of my top favorites.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you see, when they're together, you get No Country for Old Men.
Yeah. when
it's just Ethan, I guess we get this. And they're already making another movie, Ethan and his wife. So, and I'm sure it's going to probably be wacky and crazy like this too. But Shahab, what about you?
As far as being a fan?
Yeah.
Definitely. I feel like, for me anyway, their movies are very hit or miss. I either, you know, really love it or really don't understand it. And that's also okay. But the ones that I love so much.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
There's this lyrical thing they have going with the cadence of people talking. You know, I really think together they make magic. But, you know, they do have all these adjacent projects that they've done for Netflix and all these different things. And
sure,
this definitely feels like one of those. So, mm-hmm. You know, really good stuff.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, they balance so many different things, from the comedy to the ridiculous characters to, you know, a lot of times idiot criminals, which we get here, and you know, all kinds of fun stuff that really some of the best stuff in movies, like some of my favorite movies all feature, even if they're not Coen Brothers movies, feature some of the themes that they tend to come back to all the time. But Faith, what about you?
Yeah, I really liked The Big Lebowski, and yeah. I just watched Fargo recently, and
nice.
And I'm kind of in the same boat as Shahab, where like I either really like it or I like kind of don't understand it. What I think is interesting is both Fargo and this film, someone has like a crazy accent, or they all have crazy accents.
Yeah.
I think that's just like the, they go all out with it, and I think it adds to like the bizarreness of the Coen brother feel. We also get like cars constantly being like a motif throughout this film, and
sure.
that's similar for Fargo, so... I think they like cars.
Also, the other thing that they really, really love is wide-angle lenses.
Sure.
Which is amazing, you know.
And apparently Ethan likes crazy wipes, mm-hmm. going from scene to scene, all that kind of weird stuff. But yeah, back to Fargo, I mean, the criminals driving around and just like getting pissed at each other, you know, that is like straight Fargo right there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so just like, you know, kicking it off with that. And we're going to start getting into some other movies, non-Coen movies as possible influences here. But Lizette, you're right here. Let's start with you.
Well, while watching this, I thought of, but I'm not a cheerleader.
Nice. Yeah.
I mean, with all the lesbian stuff going on in this one, I mean, that was a big one I was watching when I was like younger was but I'm not a cheerleader. It was like indie and it was fun. It's like you didn't see that back in the day in the 90s, so I would say that one would be my first one.
Yeah, that's a great one and like a classic of that kind of movie. And an interesting thing that I read about this movie is that it was actually written in the 90s and it just sat on a shelf since then.
Oh, wow.
And they decided just not update it at all and to just keep it set in the 90s and keep that same vibe going. But it fits right in with But I'm a Cheerleader, which... Yeah, I mean, even today, we still don't really get a lot of movies like lesbian comedies like that. And so it's an interesting tone to you know, jump on for a Coen on their first solo outing like this. But what about you guys? Fans of that movie?
Yeah.
Never seen it?
Yeah.
Never seen it?
I've ever seen it.
Oh, it's fun. Yeah.
And Natasha Lyonne.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a fun one. It's a fun one.
You have me there. Maybe I'll go watch it now.
Yeah. Shahab, let's go to your first piece.
I took tons of notes as we were watching. but one of the things that, you know, so again, like this is all puzzle pieces, right? So first, you know, and I didn't mention this before, I also thought of The Lady Killers, which was a Coen Brothers movie, but only in the sense that, you know, man, they really do ensemble cast so well, you know. But the one that I want to bring up now is there was a movie in the 80s called Spies Like Us, which is about a briefcase, right?
Yeah.
And it was Dan Aykroyd, right? Chevy Chase. And when the government guys from the Pentagon go to the super secret military base, I don't know if you remember, and then they put a thing in the Coke machine and go down the elevator or whatever. So when they get there, at the gate, there's these two guys with AK-47s. That is the Coen brothers. Like, they stood in as those actors. So the next time you see Spies Like Us, which is about a briefcase, it's the Coen brothers letting him in.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Oh, nice.
That's a great pull right there. That's awesome. And it's a great piece, too. Like, that's a thing. Like, right now, we're seeing a lot of movies where they, like, you know, maybe gender swap or something like that. But, like, this kind of road trip comedy, it's always dudes, like, going back forever. And so, you know, it's refreshing to see this kind of one. And it fits so perfectly into this story because it's really not about, you know, the crime or the mystery at the center of it. It's more about their relationship and her coming out of her shell. And so, you know, it fits
and
perfect.
There was, you know, I think almost like Spies Like Us, there's this almost... unreal, like there's situations that just wouldn't happen necessarily, like
cartoonish.
A plaster of a penis, you know what I mean? Oops, can I say that? I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's what
mean,
it was.
That's literally what happened. But, yeah. So yeah, absolutely. Faith, let's go to your first piece.
Okay, I've been teetering between what my first piece should be, but I think I'm gonna go with Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Nice.
And I think the reason would be that there's the scene I remember just being like, this is bizarre but such a good movie, was like the random she fights with dildos in her hands,
oh, yeah.
like scene, and it's just so bizarre but it's so funny, and for some reason that stuck in out into my head, and when I kept seeing we saw the briefcase, I was like, wait a minute, this is ironic, because it reminded me of that scene from Everything Everywhere All at Once. And we also have that like she's a lesbian, and her mom's like that's a whole storyline. So I think there's a little nod to that really fun movie that I think we all learned to love that movie because of how amazing it is.
for sure. Shahab was just talking about how like unreal this movie is, and I think it's like very cartoonish, and like literally anything could happen in this movie. And I think, you know, Everything Everywhere All at Once is exactly that. Literally anything could happen like at any moment in that, and that's, you know, such a open-ended way for a movie to take place, but they made it work, of course. And I think it works here, because I mean, I thought when that's what they showed in the reveal at first, I was just like, wait a minute, what is going on here? And then it was just kind of like, you know what, why the fuck not, you know?
So. I remember like watching that scene during Everything Everywhere at Once and just thinking, what producer was like, yeah, actually that's okay, let's do that. And the same thing happened with this. I was like, oh, let's put dildos in a briefcase. Oh, just, yeah, let's do it. Sure, let's do it.
Well, I'll go to another piece. I'm going to go to like the old sexploitation films with like Russ Meyer's stuff. And I just last year actually watched Super Vixens for the first time, which is just so stupid and ridiculous and over the top and just filled with, first of all, you know, it's a road trip. They get in trouble with police. There's lots of goofy sex in it. It's like, you know, it's not even really sexy. It's just like goofiness within like the sex stuff that happens in it. And that whole genre is just filled with that stuff. It's all just like playing in the world of sex and porn and, you know, all that kind of thing. And I think this movie was trying to kind of recapture some of that while also trying to, you know, wink and nod, remind you of what Coen Brothers movies are. And so it's almost in a grindhouse kind of way, a sexploitation kind of way. It's trying to get back to those kind of things while also still being like a 90s comedy, like we're talking about some of these other things here. But yeah, so just like sexploitation in general, but you could specify the work of Russ Meyer for sure. And you guys watch
there's
any of that
definitely
stuff?
A lot of those you know, grindhouse focus pulls.
Get the which is also kind of a Coen thing too, but you get the like those trip out scenes, like the really psychedelic things, and all that is in those movies too. So you know, it's just filled with just all kinds of crazy wacky stuff. And I think that's where they're trying to go here. But Lizette, let's go to your next piece.
Well, speaking about the psychedelics, it made me think of Fear and Loathing.
Yes, that was on my list too.
As soon as I was watching those parts, I'm like, this is just...
The hotel.
I'm like, check-in, it's making me high right now. So it's like... So it made me think of that movie, because also they are on like a trip, you know? Like personal and mental trip in the car. So, and I mean, Benicio Del Toro too was just... Mm-hmm. I don't know. He just was really good in that film. So it made me think about that movie.
Ice water with ice.
It's backcountry.
Ice water with ice.
Lots of crazy shit happening in both movies. So yeah, I think that's a great one to include here for sure. Shahab, let's go to another one.
Okay. What else did I have here?
I was not taking notes. I should have taken notes.
From Dusk Till Dawn, obviously, you know, trunk, road trip, crazy, gun, you know, grindhouse.
Yeah.
But also, you know, as far as like the, you know, Tarantino side of things, I think Four Rooms also came to mind, which was that, you know, the short films all cobbled together. You know, so I think those definitely came to mind. The road trip,
Yeah, absolutely. Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez, both of them all over what is going on here. Both of them, you know, inspired by, you know, the sexploitation stuff, the grindhouse stuff, and, you know, kind of throwing all that in a blender and just, you know, all the crime movies, the sex movies, just all of it kind of thrown together into just like an anything goes kind of a movie.
But I must say, watching the trailer, I thought it was going to be a little more fast paced. It was kind of a nice slow roll.
Yeah.
You know, where the beats took a long time and they would flesh out like full conversations. You know, it wasn't this crazy action thing that I assumed.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, it ended up being much more about their relationship and, like we said, about the girl coming out of her shell. And, like, yeah, so it ended up definitely being a little bit different from what I think what the trailers were kind of selling it on. But that's to be expected nowadays. I feel like they just sell everything as this big, fast-paced, exciting movie. And, you know, that's a lot of the times not what it is. But... what do you guys think about, you know, that combination of Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez?
I thought they played it really well. I mean, it's just, you know, like an ode to them, and it was really nice to see that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Coens, I mean, in their own right, or like, you know, in the conversation of like the best of the 90s with those guys. And so it's like they're all kind of feeding off each other in a way.
I love the 90s. Anything that's like 90s inspired, I'm like, yes. I still live in the 90s, and I still dress like the 90s. So.
Yeah, yeah. What about you, Faith?
Yeah, I thought, like, the trailer, like he said, I thought, like, with the trailer it was going to be kind of like Hot Fuzz or, like, something kind of heist-related, and it kind of wasn't like that, but I was pleasantly surprised, but I definitely thought it was going to be more, like, heist-oriented or, like, something like Central Intelligence with Kevin Hart and Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I thought it was going to be something like that, chaotic.
It wasn't chaotic,
but it's just some moments, right? Yeah, yeah.
Just
but
some moments.
That's kind of, I agree, like, it wasn't what I expected, but I definitely saw the odes to other directors. I thought it kind of had some Scorsese elements, too, with just the interesting, like, gruesomeness at the beginning and, like, that fun decapitation scene. But, yeah.
Right on. Well, Faith, let's go to another puzzle piece. What do you got next?
Okay, I think I'm going to go with this. I was thinking of the TV show on Max, Harley Quinn, like the new Harley Quinn series, because that one kind of, they talk about Poison Ivy and Harley Quinn, and most of the seasons they're not together, but it's always that will they, won't they, and there's this like sexual tension and love that they have throughout the first couple seasons that you're like, just kiss already, or just something already. And I kind of did that in this movie. I was like, oh my gosh, the tension, it's right there. Just do it. And then it just was a fun way that they fell in with each other. So it gave me very much the Harley Quinn Poison Ivy trope, I guess you could say.
I haven't seen that, actually. That,
no, that show is so good.
Yeah.
It's rated R and, this is very LGBTQ plus friendly. It's exactly this.
Like, no, it's like the poster for season 4 is them on a rocket that's shaped like a penis. So I feel like it's pretty
so
it's pretty in
too.
Line with this
it's
film.
It's hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I mean, hell, go there, right? Like, why not go there?
Yeah. You know?
So, yeah, it's a great one. I'm going to go, speaking of the 90s, the Coen brothers, I'm going to go to a different set of brothers, the Farrelly brothers. I'm going with Dumb and Dumber as far as just a couple of people.
Nice.
One of them much louder and more kind of annoying than the other one, and the other one kind of putting up with them and then getting mixed up with, you know, having the wrong thing that they're traveling with, and the other criminals are after it and all that. So
and in a way they had their own dialect.
You can go with other Farrelly too. Like, I was also thinking once the two bad guys were in the car and his nose was, I was thinking of Me, Myself, and Irene with the nose squeaking, you know. But so just a bunch of Farrelly stuff in there. But I
love
those.
I was thinking about Chris Farley, like with Tommy Boy. Yes,
that
was
on my list
that.
Too.
That fits in there too, exactly, with the same kind of thing. I'll throw that on the list too. Before we open it up to the floor, any of you have others that you wanted to bring up first?
I have a few. Let me just go through them, and then we'll see.
Okay.
Twins, also briefcase, also
twins.
Car.
All right.
Also two, right? Army of Darkness, mainly in the car, like when they got the flat tire, the you know, like
yeah,
that was
a lot of Raimi,
so,
in that shot for,
you know,
sure.
But they're
Sam
friends.
Raimi and Coen brothers, they love each other.
So. UHF, the Weird Al movie, especially like when he would, like, you know, be the meat eating Gandhi and like something like that, where you're like, what is going on?
Talking about the new one.
No, that's the Weird Al documentary. UHF is like,
but that was okay. No, UHF was like his fictional movie.
Yeah,
where he has to save. I highly
TV
recommend
station.
It. Anyway, that was my list. So
beautiful. You know, as long as you're bringing it up, but I'll also throw in the Nice Guys, the Shane Black movie with Russell Crowe and why am I drawing a blank on the guy who's
Gosling?
Ryan Gosling. Yeah, it's a comedy thriller that ends up getting into the world of porn, which then ends up getting mixed up with the world of politics. Shout out to friend of the show, Joe Black. I know he would say his new movie Suffrage also gets into those kind of themes as well. But yeah, The Nice Guys is one of my favorite movies of the last like 5-10 years. It's so funny. Faith, what about you? Anything else you want to bring up?
I have two to add, I think. I kept thinking Baby Driver.
I was thinking that too.
And
okay.
Then I was also, I just looked it up because I couldn't remember the name, Sugarland Express, which is Spielberg's like first or early movies that he did, which also revolves around a car. There's another one, I can't remember the name of it, where it's that truck driver and the car fighting each other.
Yeah.
Can't remember the name of it. That's like
it's like his, one word or something, like run or drive.
Yeah, something. But it's like his very first one or something like that. And it kind of reminded me of what you were explaining.
Hmm. Yeah, it's something.
But it's like super early. But he, like Shahab was saying, there's like a scene where they're like crazy. That's what it reminded me of.
Right on, right on. Well, I want to open it up to the floor, see if we got any puzzle pieces here in the audience. And I do have some goodies to give away later, but. We got one right up
Duel.
There.
That's the name of it.
No, I'm
Duel.
That's the
oh, Duel.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank yeah. You. Okay.
I knew it was like a one
yeah,
word
it was
thing.
Something like that.
Right on. We got one right here.
Chasing Amy.
Okay.
The bar. Oh. Like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Entertainment at the lesbian bar.
We certainly like, haven't totally seen. And I mean, talking about all the 90s we've been talking about, and we haven't seen a lot of movies set in lesbian bars. So I think that's a great one.
It's 90s.
Yeah, exactly. It's total 90s. So I
must also say, I love it when someone brown is a main character.
Right on, yes. Right on. Yeah. Do we have any?
I feel like she could have like a little, like sequel.
Oh, her own like spin-off?
Mm-hmm. She could totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that could come along.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Maybe a prequel about how she became who she is.
That's
yeah.
true.
And her aunt.
Her time before
neighbor.
Ralph Nader.
The neighbor.
Oh yeah, there's plenty to go into in there for sure. Do we have any other? I see my mom who is here flailing her arm around. What is it, Mom?
I kept wishing that the two girls would morph into Charles Grodin and Robert De Niro.
Okay.
From Midnight Run.
Midnight Run.
They were that interesting.
That's cool.
The psychedelic scenes, I kept thinking of Val Kilmer in The Doors.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And most of all, I guess I was worried about what would it cost me to take an Uber from here back to my house.
After
10 minutes of the movie. I felt it was slow and plodding, and I don't know if it did anything for winning the prize. And I doubt that I'll ever go to another Coen movie again.
Wow. There we go.
I'm right there with you. I'm not a fan of Coen.
Fighting words from Sonny Rosen and Gina Mazzoni.
Oh,
unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Leave it to family, your family to tell
the truth. Yep, and they've got to.
We're just here to support.
That's important.
That's the most important part.
Yeah,
that
is. It absolutely is.
Family doesn't have to like what you're doing, but as long as they're supporting you.
That's right. support family and support movie theaters. Oh. That's the important thing. We got a piece right up there.
Did somebody say Pulp
Fiction
yet?
I was thinking about Pulp Fiction.
Nope, but
it was
we got
on
the
my
briefcase.
List.
It was on my list, too.
But
the briefcase.
I was almost like, did we talk about Tarantino too much? You know,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Right.
No, I was
but it was
about,
for sure.
Well, and then did we talk about Briefcase too much? And I'm like, that's like the classic one.
Totally.
Pineapple Express.
Good one.
Yeah, that's definitely a great one to include here for sure. That's well, I mean, it's produced by Judd Apatow, but
David Gordon Green.
It is right. Yeah, oh. David Gordon Green. So yeah, but yeah, absolutely. It kind of goes in with my Dumb and Dumber piece there. Mm-hmm. You know, those two fit together.
Eight heads in a duffel bag.
That is a good one. Eight heads in a duffel bag. I haven't seen that in like 30 years, probably.
Six
like,
of those in a briefcase? Yeah. And if it was written, you said this was written in the late 90s?
Yeah, I think it was written in the like mid to late.
97, I think.
Wow. That's crazy. Yeah, I wonder how that movie holds up. I haven't seen that in so long.
I don't know.
Have any of you guys ever even seen that?
No, I'm going to have to
a
look it up now.
Time.
Yeah, that's a 90s movie right there. Do we have any other puzzle pieces in the audience? We got one right here.
A couple of mishaps with them and their travels. Thelma and Louise.
Yeah, absolutely. I was thinking about that too. That's a great one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, them finding themselves along this insane journey and getting mixed up in all kinds of crazy shit.
Female empowerment.
Wackier than the other. Perfect inclusion here.
What do you want over there, Allie?
I want to, if anyone has like dug into it yet, I'm curious, did they have like a lesbian consultant?
So Trisha Cook, Ethan Coen's wife, is LGBTQ. And so she wrote like the main draft of this, and then he like co-wrote, you know, further drafts with it, and then they directed it together. So
I thought it was so funny at the end when they're like, they're getting married. I'm like, that's very lesbianist to like just jump right into
just get married.
Yeah.
Living together and after 3 dates.
Yeah. This movie is a live action cartoon.
There's one I totally forgot that I feel like, you know, kind of addresses that, in that a puzzle piece I was thinking of was the movie Mother.
Mm.
In that, mother isn't something that like is supposed to have happened. It's all a metaphor, right? Mm. And it's all, you know, in this movie, it was all wacky and like weird and like, would that even really happen, right? So I think, what if it's all a metaphor of politicians, of, you know, PAC money and like all of that kind of shenanigans that already goes on? So maybe it was all a metaphor.
I mean, I would say that, or of just, you know, the craziness of her getting out of her shell, basically, of, you know, all this, what if, you know, things happen, what, you know, what if it goes badly, you know, trying to get out of her own head. And these are all the craziness, you know, crazy things that could happen, you know? Mm. And so you could kind of look at it that way. And in
that's
that
a good
way.
Point.
I love
I
that you brought up an Evil Dead movie and Mother in this conversation. Yeah. Movies that I bring up on every freaking episode of this podcast.
Which you wouldn't be like, with a comedy?
Yeah.
But
hey, as long as somebody else does it,
I'm happy.
I'm happy
somebody else liked Mother. Like, I felt like, I enjoyed Mother. Yeah, I mean, I thought I loved Mother. And then, like, you know, there's some people that were like, what? You know, they did what in that movie? And it just went over their head. And it's it's so good.
It's the best. I love it so much. My mother over there would not like Mother. But
I think my mother didn't like Mother either.
No, not that mother.
Jennifer Lawrence.
The girl that was screwing the senator. In those psychedelic things, there's a girl who sings really great. I love her voice, but she has set women back many, many years because she has always been, maybe she's changing now. To me, she's the epitome of sluttiness in music, and that's Miley Cyrus.
She
had such a strong resemblance. That is not women power. Sorry.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
No, Miley is not.
Thankfully, we edit the podcast once it goes up.
That was literally Miley Cyrus.
Yeah.
She dropped the mic over there.
Do we have any more before we wrap up the puzzle pieces here? I think we got a lot of stuff in here. I'm just looking at my initial list here, too. I also just wanted to throw in one last one, and then we'll wrap it up. And that is the Wachowskis Bound. Talking about lesbians mixed with violence, and, you know, that movie is not wacky at all. It is much more serious, but it is great. And so I just wanted to add it to the list.
Nice. Good one.
Check that one out.
Can I add like two bizarre ones? That might be two.
I like
young,
bizarre
so
ones.
I keep adding like the newer films.
Sure.
I also thought of Cocaine Bear for a little bit of it.
That movie was fun.
I don't know why, but it gave me a Cocaine Bear vibe, like Coleman Domingo's character being like kind of Ray Liotta in this, like he did this thing right now. And then the other one I was thinking of, it's very new, so I don't know how many people saw it, is Poor Things with the new film, because it's so bizarre, and I think I really like the bizarre movies, so they kind of keep popping up, and I'm always pleasantly surprised by them. So I think Poor Things, Bella and the main character in this one, I think they have some similarities to them.
Well, and like we were saying earlier about, you know, this woman coming out of her shell and like learning to like get out of her head and like learning to enjoy the world, you know, and what the world has to offer for her. That goes to the, you know, Poor Things, to her journey as well. And I also strangely was thinking about Cocaine Bear, which we did do a live show on here at Maya Cinemas, but it, you know, it's nothing like it necessarily, but it's also just anything goes, ridiculous, crazy road trip and violence.
It's that like they don't know they have this like crazy thing in their truck, and like the kids didn't know that was like cocaine, but they had a feeling about it. So and then they decide to play with it in both senses. So I think that's why I thought about Cocaine Bear.
Love it. Love it. Great inclusion.
And speaking of Maya Cinemas, this place is cool. I've never been here.
Yeah.
And the little pre-roll they had talking about they take movie theaters to places that don't have them. I was like, that's awesome.
They got
awesome.
Street tacos.
Shout out to Maya Cinemas. We'll be back here, by the way. We will be back here March 28th for Godzilla X Kong, April 18th for Abigail, and then May 23rd for Furiosa. So we got a bunch more live shows here at Maya. There'll be, of course, links in the show notes. So I think let's get into some closing thoughts. Lizette, anything that you just want to mention, anything you thought about the movie that we didn't get into doing puzzle pieces?
I just feel like I'm going to go home and watch No Country for Old Men because I just love that movie so much. Yeah, that's great. I want to be the bad guy in that movie. So it's just like, if you guys haven't seen that one, just watch it.
They also unceremoniously killed the, the bad guys just like that, which, so, Shahab, what about you?
I thought it was fun. I thought it was wacky. Again, we're talking about characters that we don't normally see on screen. So I think it's a win, 10 out of 10 from me.
Right on. Very cool. What about you, Faith?
Yeah, I thought it was fun. Not what I expected at all. Mm-hmm. But it was wacky. It was bizarre. And if you're on Letterboxd, I'll probably write some weird unhinged review. And probably, I'm leaning toward like 4 stars, maybe 4.5. I did enjoy it. Like I said, the bizarre movies tend to be something that catches me off guard for the past couple months. So, yeah, great job. I thought it was really unique.
Right on. I'll just add, we didn't really talk about the cast that much, but Margaret Qualley is great. She's been in so many great things lately. And she's, if you don't know, like the louder one of the two girls. She is a lot of fun here. Geraldine Viswanathan, she's does a great job against her. And the rest of the cast, I usually am not that big a fan of Beanie Feldstein. I thought she was great here. I thought she was so funny in this. So, but yeah, I mean, Coleman Domingo, you mentioned, I mean, it's a great ensemble cast. Lots of great stuff in there. So yeah, I think that does it for Driveway Dolls. Lizette, tell people where they can find you.
You can find me on Instagram at Lizette_Hunter. Please follow and now follow back.
Right on, right on. How about you, Shahab?
You can find us at thinkspeak.org.
Right on. And Faith, how about you?
You can follow me on Instagram at strongfaith1. And then you can also go to my YouTube channel to see all my films and chaos that ensues in my life. It's Faith Not Films. And you can also find the link in my Instagram bio. But yeah, please connect if you want.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, again, thank you to all of you for being here. Thank you to Maya Cinemas. Again, we'll be back March 28th, Godzilla X Kong, April 18th, Abigail, May 23rd, Furiosa. Hopefully we'll see some of you there, and people listening at home will hopefully be here. And that does it for today's show. Thank you guys so much for being here.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Wax Trax Records here on 2909 South Decatur. We buy all your old 45s, your old albums, any type of music memorabilia. Also, we sell music memorabilia, albums, CDs, and a lot. Come on down to Wax Trax, 2909 South Decatur, or give me a call at 702-362-4300. Thank you very much.
All right, so I hope you enjoyed that conversation about Driveaway Dolls live from Maya Cinemas. Thanks to Maya Cinemas for having us. And thank you to my guests, Faith Nault, Shahab Sergari, and Lizette Hunter. Thanks to everybody who showed up to the live show. I hope we'll see you at one of the upcoming live shows. I told you about them all during the conversation. You could also check the show notes to find out about all the stuff that we've got coming up. But also, if you're at home listening, thank you so much for listening. Make sure you are subscribed wherever you listen to podcasts. And if there's a 5-star button, maybe hit that 5-star button. Leave us a little review. It helps make sure that more people check out the show. You can also follow us on social media at PiecingPod and join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about here on the show. We also have a Patreon I want to tell you about, the Produced by David Rosen Patreon, where I post bonus and advanced content from Piecing It Together, from Awesome Movie Year, which is another movie podcast that I produce, and from my music career. I am a music composer. I score films. I put out albums of instrumental music and a whole bunch of other stuff. You will find some exclusives and early access to all that stuff over at patreon.com/bydavidrosen. I really appreciate you just being out there listening to everything that I do. But if you want to support us in that way, it is very much appreciated. The tiers start as low as $1. You start getting the bonus stuff for $3 a month, and it goes from there. You can check out all the tiers. Again, it's patreon.com/bydavidrosen. And thanks for being out there listening. So I close these out with a piece of music, and today I am going to give you a little preview. Right now I'm in the middle of something called 24 for 2024. I am doing this ridiculously ambitious thing of releasing a new single twice a month, the first and third Friday of every month of this year. 24 new songs coming out on Spotify, Apple Music, all the streaming services. It's a lot of new music. I'm going to play a track that's coming out a little later this year, I think somewhere around August or September. This movie, Drive Away Dolls, is a big throwback, so I figured I'd go with this one called Rewind. It is part of 24 for 2024 and will eventually be on all the streaming services, but you're going to get to hear it now. So I hope you enjoy Rewind. Check out the 24 for 2024 playlist on Spotify, or just follow David Rosen on any of your streaming services if you want to hear more of my music. And we'll be back with more Piecing It Together real soon.
Points West production, produced by David Rosen in Las Vegas.